The Charming Ex-Wife, Lysander and Josiah, online novel. Chapter 11. She is the mistress here. Lysander smiled. However, if you guys, you know. Be careful lately, the baby's still small. Daphne seemed a bit embarrassed. Anyway, you're an obstetrician and gynecologist, you understand better than me. Just take care of yourself. Yeah, I know. As Josiah drove, he asked with a smile, "Who were you chatting with that made you so happy?" Daphne. Was that name given by her parents? Lysander chuckled lightly. No, she changed it when she turned 18. The day after her birthday, she went to the police station, she didn't waste a single day. Why? She had an unpleasant relationship in high school. She got hurt and decided to break off all ties with love, so she named herself Daphne Everhart. Josiah said. It doesn't have to be so decisive. Everyone has a naive first love in their youth. What's past? Past, we should look forward to the future. Is. Do you have one? Josiah hesitated. Maybe it's been too long. I've forgotten. Oh. What about you? Josiah asked, did you have a crush on a boy before? Of course, but I was just busy, not closed off. It wasn't in high school, it was when I was much younger. Elementary school. Lysander smiled. Not even in elementary school, probably around 4 or 5 years old. I was too young then, I just thought the other person was really nice, so I mistakenly thought I liked them. Looking back now, how could a kid like that understand what love is? By 5 or 6, kids already have a sense of gender. It's normal to have someone you like. Lysander raised an eyebrow. Do you have experience with this? Josiah chuckled and reached over to push the flower branches away from her eyes. Be careful. It will be bad if it gets in your eyes. Lysander remained silent. The apartment wasn't far from the hospital, just a 10-minute drive. This house wasn't particularly upscale. It was just middle class. Josiah chose it himself because it was closer to the central hospital where Lysander worked. However, it was a bit far from his company. Josiah didn't mind, as he drove to and from work regardless, the distance didn't matter to him. Upon returning home, Lysander used her fingerprint to open the door. Surprise! Welcome home. Lysander was startled by the familiar voice. She put the flowers in front of her on the ground and finally saw the person in front of her, along with this unfamiliar place. Lysan was wearing a nightgown, no makeup, and Lysander's pink slippers. And the home she had meticulously decorated over the course of a year had become completely unrecognizable. The curtains she had picked after visiting 3 malls were torn off and piled up in a corner, the plush toys she had placed on the sofa were all gone, the tablecloths on the dining table and coffee table were taken off, leaving only a bare glass tabletop, with something sticky applied to the edges. Lysander looked closely and saw that her cherished plush toys were all twisted and taped with transparent tape to the corners of the tables and chairs. Josiah was also angry. Lysan, what are you doing? Lysan smiled. Dr. Throne is too busy with work, so I tidied up the house myself. How is it? Doesn't it feel refreshed? Josiah's face darkened slightly. Did you discuss this with me before doing all this? Why should I discuss with you what I want to do? Everything you had before was all decided by me. Lysander had reached her limit, her voice trembling slightly. Miss Thorne, this isn't just Josiah's home. It's mine, too. Is that so? Did you buy this house with your own money? Lysander couldn't answer. With your salary, you probably couldn't afford this neighborhood, right? It's all Josiah's money. Since it's his money, he has the right to do whatever he wants. If he has the right to do whatever he wants, then I have the right to do whatever I want. As she spoke, Lysan smiled throughout, proudly surveying her territory. Josiah's brow furrowed tightly. He pulled Lysander into the house and said coldly, "Lysan, I was mistress here." "Oh, the bridal chamber. Was it bought after marriage?" Josiah took a deep breath. "What does it matter if it was bought before or after marriage? The difference is significant. If it was purchased before marriage, then it's your personal property. Dr. Thorne only has the right to reside, not ownership. To be blunt, if you two divorce in the future, this house will have nothing to do with her, not a penny. And I'm your best friend, I can come to your house anytime." Josiah rebuked loudly. "Lysan, don't talk nonsense." Lysan's eyes welled up slightly. "Josiah, people forget about their mother after getting married, but you don't even want friends after marrying her? How many times have you shouted at me because of her? You've never shouted at me like this before." "I'm not shouting at you. However, you should at least tell Lysander and me. Turning the house into the state without a word is disrespectful to Lysander." "You did shout at me. What else is such a loud voice if it is not shouting?" "Oh, my stomach dash." Josiah rushed to support her in panic. "Lysan, are you okay? Sit down and rest for a while." Assisted by him, Lysan sat down on the sofa, not in a good mood. "Try making me angry again. If something happens to me or the child, see what you'll do." A trace of guilt flashed in Josiah's eyes. He asked softly, "Is it still hurting?" "Lysander is an obstetrician. Let her check on you. If you're really uncomfortable, we need to go to the hospital. I don't need her to check on me." Lysan turned her face away. "The thing with the male anesthetist hasn't been sorted out yet. I don't trust her right now." Lysander coldly remarked, "It's my off-duty time now, I don't see patients." Josiah sighed. He lowered his stance and approached her. "Lysander, pregnant women can be irritable. She doesn't mean harm, lives are at stake. Please take a look at her. I charge for consultations." "All right, how much?"
"Specialist consultation, $15.
"Okay, I'll transfer it to you now." Lysan, on the sofa, suddenly sneered, "Even between spouses, you have to transfer $15. "Dr. Thorne, you are really meticulous with money." Lysander retorted, "Yes, with my limited salary, I have to be careful with money. After all, I need to buy a house in the second half of the year. At least I have full control over it. Without my permission, no one can run wild in my house." Chapter 12. She couldn't stay in this house any longer. "Dr. Thorne, do you want me to explain the law to you? If the house was bought during the marriage, even if it's your investment, it's still marital property. You only have half ownership. Are you suggesting that Josiah also owns half, and she can mess around in my house?" Lysan shrugged, implying something. "If you bought it when you were single, then it belongs to you alone and has nothing to do with Josiah." "Miss Thorne, are you referring to single or divorced?" "Whether it's single or divorced, there's no difference in the ownership of the house. Dr. Thorne, don't misinterpret my meaning. I'm just educating you on marriage and property laws." Lysander chuckled and turned to Josiah. "See that? Miss Thorne can still argue with me logically, proving there's nothing wrong." Josiah apologized. Lysander, remember to transfer the $15 to me. I'm going back to the bedroom. As for the living room, this is your house, you decide whether to restore it or keep it as it is." Josiah caught up, grabbing her. "Lysander, don't be angry. Oh, and one more thing." Lysander added. "Although the house is yours, I bought the curtains, sofa covers, and stuffed toys. I have receipts as evidence, so Miss Thorne must compensate for the damages accordingly. I understand property law." Lysander. I've put the roses in the entryway, those were fully paid for by you. So, it's your property. Deal with it yourself. Stop hogging space. Lysander turned and headed back to the bedroom, closing the door. Josiah stood outside, knocking on the door for a while, calling her name, but she ignored him. She casually puts on headphones and turns on a TV show, no longer concerned about the commotion. Outside. After watching an episode and feeling a bit thirsty, she decided to go to the living room to pour a glass of water. As she opened the door, she overheard Lysander's conversation. Josiah, what happened to you? You used to be so confident, but now you're so submissive after getting married. Pressed down by your wife, you are not at all like the person you used to be. Josiah sat wearily on the other end of the sofa. His forearm rested on his eyes, and he softly said, "Do you think I should argue with her? At least you shouldn't be so submissive. Marriage is a mutual thing. Why should you be the only one to placate her?" Sial chuckled bitterly. "You understand marriage so well. Has your marriage succeeded?" Lysander's expression changed suddenly, turning sharply. "What do you mean? Pregnant, husband cheated, divorced, and left with nothing," Josiah said. "Are you here specifically to celebrate my birthday? You couldn't stand it overseas, right? Mom doesn't want to expose you, afraid you'll lose your dignity. Do you think we don't know anything?" Lysander bit her lip, was silent, and bowed her head. Josiah sighed. "Your own marriage has failed. Stop giving me advice. I'm doing it for your own good. I've learned a lot from my failed marriage. That's why I'm telling you what's right and what's wrong, to prevent you from following in my footsteps. I'll manage my own marriage. My mom doesn't interfere, and so should you. I'm your best friend. Who else will look out for you?" Lysander said angrily. "I'm not saying Dr. Thorne is bad, but look at her these past few days. She's either busy with work or arguing with me, and she's not close to my mom. It's like there's a barrier between them. She doesn't get along with your relatives and friends either. Maybe she should reflect on herself. She gets along fine with my mom. It's just superficial. No matter how good she is, can she be as good as me and Mrs. Guerra?" Josiah suddenly sat up. "Lysander, what are you trying to do? You wanted to stargaze, so I lied to Lysander that there's work at the company, and I went with you to the mountaintop in the middle of the night. You think this place is close to the hospital and want to live in Lysander's and my marital home, so we both agreed. What more do you want?" Lysander bit her lip, tears streaming down her face. "Okay, I get your point. I'll leave." With that, she stood up, clattering, to start packing. Josiah said, "It's late at night. Where are you going?" "I'll stay in a hotel, okay? We can't be friends anymore. A dog doesn't recognize a good person's heart. I won't care whether you live or die from now on." "Lysander." Josiah snatched the luggage from her hands and put it aside. "Stop making a scene, okay? You're pregnant. How could I let you stay in a hotel alone?" "Why not? Let me tell you. From now on, we're not friends anymore. You just be a good husband to her." Cough. Lysander coughed heavily. Both Josiah and Lysander looked over. He looked guilty. Lysander's eyes were sharp and filled with tears. She couldn't stay in this house any longer. Surgery's scheduled for tomorrow, and she had to ensure adequate sleep. She said, "I just got a call. There's an emergency at the hospital. I have to go." Josiah immediately grabbed the car keys. "I'll drive you." "No need. Miss Thorne isn't feeling well. You stay and take care of her. It's not far. I'll take a taxi." Fortunately, she hadn't changed out of her work clothes since coming home. She was wearing what she wore off duty, which made things easier. Picking up her bag and changing her shoes, she left in one go. As she reached the gate of the community, it seemed like Josiah followed her out. He called her name from behind, Lysander Dash. Lysander waved to stop a taxi.
Sir, take me to the hotel. The driver asked, isn't there a hotel next to this community?
Go to another one, she said.
The further, the better.
The car started and merged into the traffic.
The driver reminded her, Miss, it seems like someone is chasing the car behind.
Should I stop?
No need.
Just drive faster.
Chapter 13 Without a hint of hesitation.
Lysander felt like she possessed a strong resilience, no matter how sorrowful events unfolded, they wouldn't disrupt her sleep in the slightest. The typical scenario where the protagonist on a television program couldn't sleep due to a tragic incident simply didn't apply to her.
Daphne remarked, "This is good.
It indicates that you have a clear mind.
If I had your awareness back then, I wouldn't have stayed up all night before the college entrance exam, resulting in a mediocre score at a second-tier university.
One excelled as a top student in high school, with both of them consistently ranking in the top two of the entire grade.
Either Lysander ranked first, or Daphne did, leaving the third position far behind.
In the latter half of the third year of high school, the student in third place confessed their feelings to Daphne and pursued her ardently.
It was complete with dramatic yet sweet scenes.
How could a 17 or 18-year-old girl resist it?
In less than 2 months, she succumbed and fell into the depths of love.
The teachers were aware of the situation, but since both were top students, most of the teachers actually pleased with the situation and didn't interfere too much. However, not long after, the student in the third place proposed a breakup.
It was sudden, decisive, and without a hint of hesitation.
He was even more ruthless than the most heartless of characters.
Daphne was deeply affected and couldn't concentrate on her studies.
As Daphne's best friend, Lysander took care of her and tutored her, which consumed a significant amount of her energy.
As a result, Daphne's grades plummeted and Lysander's own grades dropped to the top 10 in the entire grade.
The student who originally held the third position in the class consistently ranked first in subsequent mock exams and eventually gained admission to Apex University.
Nearly a decade later, whenever Daphne brought up this incident, she would sigh sincerely and say, "I suppose that guy must have planned it all along.
Seeing that you were determined and clear-headed, he couldn't easily win you over.
But I appeared foolish, so he chose me, the unlucky one."
Lysander consoled her.
"Perhaps we are overanalyzing it.
Maybe he genuinely liked you at the time, but upon getting to know you better, he felt it wasn't right, and the admission was merely a coincidence."
Daphne responded, "Do you believe that?"
Lysander believed it during her senior year of high school, but now, in her 30s, she didn't truly believe it either.
The disparity between Apex University and a second-tier university was simply too vast.
Lysander spent nearly every workday in the operating room, completing several cesarean sections with an equal mix of two girls and two boys.
Lynn reviewed the surgical records and exclaimed,
"It's uncommon to have such a balanced gender ratio in a single day.
Due to the implementation of the three-child policy, despite the government's repeated warnings against gender testing for fetuses, the final outcomes were still not very promising, with a significantly higher proportion of boys than girls."
Lysander remarked, "I actually prefer daughters."
Lynn inquired, "Does your husband have a preference for boys or girls?"
"I haven't informed him yet."
"You haven't informed him yet?
Wasn't it meant to be a birthday surprise?
There was a slight hiccup, so I didn't mention it."
Lynn patted her shoulder.
"It's all right.
There's still time in the month, so you'll have another opportunity in the future."
"Okay.
By the way, why didn't your husband come to pick you up today?
I even checked the parking lot but didn't see his car.
He probably had some work at the company and couldn't leave.
Speaking of which,
When is the deadline for that overseas assignment you mentioned last time?
It's at the end of the month.
Are you interested in going?
It's a 3-year commitment, and your baby
will be born abroad.
Is your husband on board with that?
After a moment of contemplation, Lysander realized that there were still approximately 10 days remaining until the end of the month. She still had some time to consider her options.
Let me think about it.
Lin reminded her, your annual leave begins tomorrow, correct?
You should make a decision soon.
If
choose to go, you will need to submit the application immediately upon your return from leave you.
Lysander was surprised, she had completely forgotten about her annual leave. She had intended to utilize this time off for a honeymoon with Josiah, but now she found herself unable to even return to their shared home, let alone embark on a honeymoon.
Chapter 14 I'll Set You Free.
After finishing work, she took a taxi directly to the hotel. However, at the hotel entrance, she spotted a familiar figure.
That
Josiah was leaning against the car door while smoking with his head down. Today, he was dressed casually, not in a suit and tie. Lysander guessed that he probably didn't even go to the company day. The reason he didn't go was definitely not because of her. Josiah noticed her and immediately extinguished the cigarette before jogging over to her side.
You're back.
Lysander glanced at the hotel where she was staying. It was almost like a north-south divide from the apartment, and it took nearly an hour to drive one way.
How did you know I was staying here?
Josiah said, this hotel is owned by the Guerra Group. She furrowed her brows slightly and felt a sudden regret. She was a doctor and didn't know much about business. She rarely inquired about his company, let alone what industries were under the Guerra Group. She never expected that this hotel was also owned by the Guerra Group.
Where's Lysen? She asked.
Still at home. Josiah felt a bit guilty and explained, she can stay there if she wants.
I'll accompany you to stay at the hotel.
Lysander shook her head.
You should go back.
She's a pregnant woman who needs care.
I'll be fine on my own.
She turned, walked into the hotel, and headed straight for the elevator.
Josiah quickly took 2 steps to catch up with her.
Lysander, I called your hospital and found out that
we'll start your annual leave tomorrow.
Let's go out for a walk.
You.
Ding.
The elevator arrived.
Lysander walked in.
But I want to rest.
We can go to Mount Clinden.
There is a resort hotel on the mountain, which is also owned by the Guerra Group.
If you want to rest, we can stay at the hotel.
If you want to go out and see the scenery and breathe fresh air, we can also go for a walk outside.
Josiah said, I have hired a caregiver to take care of her at home.
Josiah.
Yes, what is it?
Do you still want to be with me?
Lysander suddenly felt bored and decided to be straightforward.
These days, I have probably figured out some things.
If you still can't let go of Lysen, I will set you free then.
I will not stand in the way of you being together.
We will part peacefully, and I will also bless you both.
Josiah looked slightly embarrassed.
Perhaps it was because she hit the nail on the head, or perhaps it was because her indifferent attitude made him feel a little desolate.
The elevator door was about to close when he reached out to stop it.
Then, he walked up and stood
beside her.
It's impossible, between me and her, he stammered.
It's never going to happen.
Josiah seemed unwilling to talk more about his past with Lysen.
Once back in the room, he busied himself boiling water and ordering food.
This was the unspoken understanding between adults.
He clarified that he didn't want to say much, and she wouldn't keep asking.
They gave each other enough space, tacitly maintaining a buffer zone between them.
Daphne said, is this what you call dating?
Dating is wanting to be together 24 hours a day and wanting to become one with each other, not like you guys.
Being polite to each other is just getting by in life.
Lysander thought about it and felt that it was true. They were just getting by in life together. She was at the age where her family was urging her to get married, and she needed a stable marriage. Josiah loved someone whom he couldn't have, so it didn't matter who he married. She was in good health herself, and her name was similar to license. They didn't have particularly high expectations of each other, as long as things were generally okay, they could get by. That was why they could coexist so peacefully. However, Lysander was still hesitant about Josiah's suggestion to stay in the mountains. Daphne said, "I know that resort. The scenery is really beautiful, but it's quite expensive. You should go."
"Why not go?
You are now his legal wife and the owner of the resort. It's free to stay now, but if you go later after a divorce, you'll have to pay a high price, which is not worth it." Lysander checked the prices of the hotel online and couldn't help but gasp. Daphne also reminded her, "You should confirm with Josiah first if Lysander is not going with you guys." She felt that even if Lysander caused trouble again, she wouldn't take the child in her belly for granted. But she didn't expect that fate loved to play tricks. So, the next morning, she changed into light clothes, left the hotel with Josiah, and was ready to set off. However, she saw the pregnant Lysan in the parking lot. Josiah seemed surprised to see her there. He furrowed his brow and asked, "What are you doing here?" Lysan didn't even look at Lysander, as if Lysander were invisible. Her gaze was fixed on Josiah, with a hint of twinkling stars in her eyes. "Josiah, I want to go to the nursing home on the mountain to visit my parents. Aren't you going vacation with Dr. Thorne to the mountains? Since it's on the way, why not give me a ride?" Josiah lowered his head to check his phone. "I'll call a car for you."
"Why call a car?
Is there no room in your car?"
"I'm going on a honeymoon with Lysander."
"Ron.
I know."
Lysander smiled slyly. "You two enjoy yourselves. I won't disturb you. I just need a ride. Dr. Thorne, you wouldn't mind, would you?" With that, she turned her head slightly to look at Lysander standing slightly behind Josiah. There was a confident smile on her lips. Lysander chuckled softly and spoke slowly. "Miss Thorne, I have a question that I don't understand. Can you answer it for me?"
Lysan nodded.
"Go ahead, Dr. Thorne. Can family members stay overnight in the nursing home?" Lysan laughed meaningfully at that time. "Of course not." So, she still had to stay at the Guerra Group's resort hotel. What did she mean by not disturbing then? Everyone understood the meaning of Lysan's words. So, Lysander directly passed the decision on to Josiah. "I'm done asking. You decide." Chapter 15. I've decided, divorce. There was a stalemate. A long stalemate. Lysander and Lysan stood on a side each, with Josiah in the middle. Lysander sneered. "How absurd is this situation? It felt like she competed with another woman for the same man, just like the most cliche plot in dramas. Hey. Isn't this Josiah?" The newcomer was an elderly lady in a wheelchair, with a middle-aged woman pushing her from behind. It seemed like they recognized Josiah and approached to greet him. Josiah called out, "Old Mrs. Wallace, Mrs. Wallace." Before he could finish. And had already walked over and held old Mrs. Wallace's hand. "Hello, old Mrs. Wallace. It's been a few years. You look several years younger."
"Ha ha.
Lysander, you're still as charming as when you were a child." Middle-aged woman behind her chuckled softly. "Mom, you're recognizing people now. A while. You." Old Mrs. Wallace immediately said, "Isn't this Josiah's wife? How can I not recognize her?" Back then, Josiah followed her daily, helped her carry her school bag, and bought snacks for her like a little follower. Mrs. Wallace suddenly felt embarrassed and pointed to Lysander in the distance before saying, "Mom, you're mistaken.
That girl is Josiah's wife. Old Mrs. Wallace suddenly became serious.
You've got it wrong.
This is Josiah's wife?
Right, Josiah.
Who is that?
I don't even know her.
Josiah's face darkened, his brows furrowed deeply, and he took a deep breath, wanting to explain.
Josiah.
Lyson suddenly pulled his hand as if intentionally trying to divert his attention back to.
It started raining heavily.
Herself. Do you remember?
Once, you rode a bike to carry me, and suddenly.
We took shelter under old Mrs. Wallace's roof.
Yes.
Yes.
Old Mrs. Wallace immediately nodded.
I remember, too.
Josiah held up his school uniform high above your head to shield you from the rain and got himself soaked.
I thought at that moment that Josiah was really something.
He knew how to take care of his wife.
Mrs. Wallace looked at Lysander with some guilt, and she stomped her foot in frustration.
Mom, please stop.
She quickly explained to Lysander.
Don't be angry.
My mom is getting old and a bit senile.
She's just talking nonsense.
Lyson smiled warmly.
It's not nonsense, Mrs. Wallace.
You weren't home at the time, so you might not have seen it.
That day, only old Mrs. Wallace was at home, and she even gave us an umbrella.
Mrs. Wallace was initially surprised and seemed a bit puzzled as to why Lyson suddenly said that, but she didn't argue further.
She just looked at Lysander with a face full of guilt.
Lysander advised gently, "It's okay, Mrs. Wallace.
I understand."
Beside them,
old Mrs. Wallace held Lyson's hand tightly, and her actions overflowed with affection.
"Oh, look at that belly. It's so big now."
Back then, these two were just kids, and now they're both going to have children.
Time really does fly.
Two.
Mom.
Mrs. Wallace furrowed her brows and quickly pushed the wheelchair away.
We need to hurry the hospital.
We shouldn't delay them any longer.
They're all so busy.
Josiah, Lyson, and
Josiah's wife, we'll leave now.
Come over to our house when you have time.
Mrs. Wallace didn't even know what Lysander's name was, so she could only use Josiah's wife as a substitute and hurriedly pushed old Mrs. Wallace away.
Lysander, on the other hand, waved goodbye politely.
Goodbye, old Mrs. Wallace.
Goodbye, Mrs.
Wallace.
Lysander stared at Josiah for a moment, then directly opened the back door of the car, got in, and slammed it shut.
Daphne was correct in pointing out that Josiah and Lyson had been entangled for over 20 years. While she had only known Josiah for a few years.
How could she compare?
By taking a step back, she was clearly stating her position. She had left the front passenger seat for them to figure out.
Josiah wanted to say something, but Lyson quickly got into the car, closed the door, and urged Josiah,
let's go quickly.
We might still make it to the hotel for lunch.
I love the seafood there.
It's my favorite.
If we're late, it might be all gone.
Josiah stood still while resisting silently.
However, Lyson said, Dr. Thorne has agreed.
Why are you hesitating?
Hurry up.
Josiah got into the car and glanced back at Lysander as if wanting to say something.
Lysander turned her head to the side and looked out the window.
Finally, he sighed and started the car engine slowly.
Daphne sent her a WhatsApp message, "Have you departed?"
Lysander replied, "I have made my decision."
Daphne sent several question marks.
The resort was as luxurious and expensive as Daphne had described.
A regular suite would cost over $3,000 for one night, while a luxury suite would cost over $10,000.
Josiah told the receptionist, "Two luxury suites."
The receptionist nodded.
"All right.
Please wait."
Lyson asked in confusion.
"Why do we need two rooms?"
Josiah said, "One for me and Lysander, and one for you alone."
She crossed her arms,
and there was a playful look in her eyes.
You have really changed a lot.
In the past, you insisted on having a room to yourself no matter what and even kicked me out.
Back then we were already in high school and there were gender differences.
Wouldn't sharing a room ruin your reputation?
She pouted and said to the receptionist, we'll need 3 luxury suites then.
One for each of us.
Josiah frowned.
Lysander and I are married.
There's no issue with us sharing a room.
Lysan looked disdainful.
What?
Are you trying to save a little money?
You're too stingy.
How does this have anything to do with saving money?
All right. Enough talking.
She waved her hand impatiently, then turned to the receptionist and said, listen to me.
We'll have 3 rooms.
The receptionist was a bit hesitant.
But Mr. Guerra said.
Never mind him.
He listens to me, too.
All right then.
The receptionist quickly arranged it and handed over 3 room keys.
Check-in is all set.
The elevator is on the left.
Lysan took the keys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She suddenly looked down at the room keys and was puzzled.
Why are 2 rooms on the 8th floor and 1 on the 2nd floor?
Sorry, miss.
It's peak season recently.
The deluxe suites are all booked up.
These are the only 3 left.
Do you want the rooms to be connected?
There are only regular suites.
Regular suites available?
No.
Are regular suites meant for people to stay in?
Let's just stay separate.
Josiah reached out, give me the room keys.
Lysan immediately moved the keys away and avoided his hand.
Then, she said in displeasure, why?
The room keys aren't heavy.
I can handle them myself.
With that, she handed Lysander one of the room keys.
Dr. Thorne, this one's for you.
The restaurant is on the 2nd floor.
Your suite is close to it.
It's very convenient.
Chapter 16 Come back to steal your husband.
Jostily was growing impatient and reached out to grab the room card from her hand, but Lysan skillfully dodged him once again and gave him a warning glance.
Lysan.
Josiah warned.
What's the matter?
Lysan rolled her eyes.
Dr. Thorne has never been to this hotel before, so I'm just showing her around.
Why are you shouting?
Can you please stop fooling around?
Ignoring him, Lysane firmly placed the room key to the suite on the 2nd floor's hand.
With a firm gesture.
Dr. Thorne, I've visited this hotel many times, so if you're not familiar with the layout, feel free to ask me.
The restaurant is on your right after you exit the door and continue walking.
Lysander looked at the room key in her hand, raised her eaves slightly, and locked gazes with Lysan.
The two exchanged glances, both understanding what the other was thinking.
Lysan was trying to show off to her, boasting about her full authority over Josiah, while Lysander looked back without any weakness, indicating that she was unfazed.
Lysander shook the room key in her hand and said softly, thank you, Miss Thorne, but I can speak.
If I'm not familiar with the layout, I can always ask the stat.
You don't have to bother showing me the way.
Eason smiled and nodded.
That's true.
Dr. Thorne, feel free to do as you please.
Lysander hadn't brought much luggage for the trip, as she wasn't one to dress up and so didn't have many clothes.
Besides, she always wore her white coat at work, so it didn't matter how nice the clothes
she bought were.
She had only brought some personal items, all stuffed in her handbag.
I'm going back to my room first.
She didn't take the elevator, but instead walked up the stairs to the 2nd floor.
After getting back in her room, she closed the door and felt as if she had lost all her strength.
The phone had been ringing non-stop with Daphne's calls, and Lysander finally answered, hello.
What's going on?
Weren't you supposed to go on vacation?
Why have you suddenly decided to leave?
Lysander briefly explained what had happened that day, and Daphne immediately sneered.
Just divorce him.
What best friend?
It's all nonsense.
"This Lysam has clearly come back to steal your husband," she asked. "Daphne, are you free tomorrow?"
"Yes, why?"
"It's hard to get a ride down the mountain from here, can you come pick me up tomorrow?" Daphne readily agreed.
"Sure."
Lysander didn't even go for lunch at noon. Josiah called her, asking if she wanted to have lunch together, but she said, "I'm allergic to seafood." Josiah coaxed, "There are other dishes available."
"There's no need, I'm full."
"What did you have then?"
"Witnessed PDA."
Josiah paused. She didn't want to continue the conversation and continued impatiently, "Let's talk tonight.
I'm tired."
"You did wake up too early this morning.
Rest first.
I'll come to find you for dinner.
Get I don't need directions.
I'll just meet you at the restaurant.
Miss Thorne has already told me how to G there so I can find it."
With that, she hung up the phone without waiting for him to reply. Lysander had woken up really early in the morning, so she once again displayed her amazing abilities and plunged into a deep, sweet dream. When she woke up, it was already past 5 in the afternoon, meaning she had slept for over 3 hours in one go. She rarely napped during the day but had been feeling more and more sleepy recently, as if she could fall asleep anytime and anywhere since she felt entirely drowsy. She suddenly felt a sinking feeling in her heart. Years of medical experience told her that her sudden drowsiness probably meant that she was pregnant. After coming to this conclusion, Lysander didn't know how to react. The arrival of the child meant that she wouldn't be kept awake by Lysander's anger and could maintain a good sleep, but this child, she was afraid she couldn't keep it. The restaurant's dinner service started at 6 o'clock, so she headed straight to the restaurant. There weren't many people there, and the whole hall was empty. Josiah and Lysander hadn't arrived yet. Lysander ordered 2 servings of chicken broth and then a cup of hot milk. Chicken broth was delicious, but too much of it wasn't healthy, especially for pregnant women, while milk was rich in protein, which was beneficial for them. She suddenly felt pitiful as Lysander had already humiliated her, yet Lysander couldn't abandon her professional ethics and disregard the safety of the pregnant Lysander. When the broth and milk came, Josiah and Lysander had also arrived. Lysander said, "Miss Thorne, I don't understand your tastes, so I just ordered a cup of hot milk for you first. You can order whatever you want to eat later." Lysander nodded slightly, pulled out a chair, and sat across from her. Then, she held the milk and took a sip before turning her head and spitting it out. Due to her professional instincts, Lysander's first thought was morning sickness, and she reflexively handed Lysander a few tissues. "Are you okay?" Lysander was still holding the tissues in her hand but Lysander showed no intention of taking them, so she could only awkwardly hold her hand in midair. Josiah immediately took the tissues and asked, "Is there sugar in the milk?"
"One, I didn't ask them.
Lysander has only ever drunk pure milk since she was a child and doesn't drink milk with sugar." Lysander came back to herself and chuckled.
"So, if there's sugar added, you'll vomit?"
Lysander replied calmly.
"Not really.
I just can't stand milk with sugar added, so I don't want to swallow it.
I have to spit it out."
Lysander directly called the staff over, "Just take this cup of milk away."
"No need.
Josiah can drink it.
It's all paid for, so it's a waste to take it away."
With that, Lysander forcefully handed Josiah the cup of milk she had drunk. At the same time, she saw the bowl of chicken broth in front of Josiah and directly stirred it with her own spoon, picking out a piece and asking,
"Is this time?"
"Yes. Dr. Thorne, don't you know? Josiah's least favorite food is mushroom, and the taste he dislikes the most is thyme." This time, Lysander ignored her and focused on eating her food. Josiah tried to smooth things over. So many things happened to Lysander while at the hospital. It's fault for not mentioning it to her.
"It's okay, I can still eat a little bit, it's fine.
The mountain air is cold,
eating some herbs to warm the stomach is quite good. With that, he picked up the broth and took several mouthfuls. Lysen seemed to be enraged and suddenly stood up, snatching the bowl from his hand and slamming it on the table.
If you don't want to eat it, then don't.
Why do you always have to
compromise?
Isn't marriage supposed to be about happiness? What's the point of constantly sacrificing yourself like this?
By now, more people had arrived at the restaurant, and her actions attracted the attention of some nearby customers.
Josiah frowned.
Lysen, please stop.
Lysen demanded coldly, I really don't understand.
You two don't even know each other at all, so how are you going to live together while married?
Tinful Lysander quickly finished her broth and stood up.
You can order whatever you want to, Kat.
Josiah immediately stood up.
I'll walk you back.
No need.
Well, how about we go for a walk?
The scenery here is quite nice, especially at night.
She walked out without a word.
No, I have a report to write.
Chapter 17. Don't take me for a fool.
Lysander felt that while she had failed in love, she could succeed in her career. The report that had been tormenting her for over 2 months was finally completed after one all-nighter. At 5:30 in the morning, Daphne called her.
Tom's heading off now.
I should be there in about an hour.
Lysander was touched.
You didn't have to leave so early, you could have set off around 7.
Daphne sighed.
If I leave any later, I'll get into rush hour traffic.
In that case, thank you.
How about I treat you to a meal later?
Forget it.
Why are we being so formal?
Hurry up and pack.
I hate waiting for people.
Lysander didn't have much to pack, just her phone charger and a few personal items.
She had already prepared everything, and her backpack was sitting on the coffee table in the living room, ready to go. As she hadn't planned on writing the report during this trip, she didn't bring her laptop and had typed everything on her phone, which made her eyes sore. With some time before Daphne arrived, she got up and went to the balcony. The morning in the mountains was cool, with a refreshing chill in the air that somehow felt invigorating. She took a few deep breaths as if she could exhale all the impurities from her body. While the luxury suite was nice with its wraparound balcony where guests could enjoy the mountain views, there was also a downside. There was a couple fighting upstairs. It was quiet in the morning in the mountains, and standing on the terrace on the second floor, she could clearly hear the argument on the eighth floor. She knew it was the eighth floor because she was now very sensitive to Lysen's voice and was able to place it accurately with just a brief listen.
Lysen seemed to be crying, and very sadly at that.
So, you don't want me anymore.
Is that it?
I'm already married.
Josiah's voice sounded cold.
But you love me.
He was silent.
Josiah, the woman you married has a name similar to mine.
Dare you say it's not because of me?
Josiah chuckled and his words were even tinged with sarcasm.
Who are you asking me this question as?
A best friend.
Josiah, you're blaming me.
He sneered, the faint smell of tobacco lingering in the air as he lit another cigarette.
It's right for you to blame me, you've been so good to me since we were kids, and I was the one who let you down first, but now, I know I'm to blame, very grievously at that.
His reply was somewhat aggressive.
You're not.
How could you be?
Lysen's voice became softer.
Josiah, can we stop being friends?
I want to be yours.
He was silent once again.
This time, let me take the initiative.
I want to propose something to you.
Lysander couldn't bear to listen to the rest. The words best friend were like a flimsy barrier, she had been waiting for so long, and today, it finally seemed to have been crossed. She turned back to her room and sat on the edge of the bed, looking through her phone while quietly waiting. No matter what Josiah chose, he would definitely come to find her. After reading business news for a while and not getting anything from Josiah, she received a message from her mother-in-law Susan.
Lysander,
which of these wedding dresses do you think looks the best?" Susan had sent over a dozen pictures, all of them wedding dresses. "Mom/why are you suddenly looking at wedding dresses?" "I just thought that since you didn't have a wedding ceremony back then, it should be made up for now that you have time off for your honeymoon. Our family should give you what you deserve, and you shouldn't be ignored." Lysander's eyes felt slightly damp. "Plus, you can choose from a variety of invitation styles, box designs, and door gifts. Just let me know when you're finished, and don't worry about anything else. I'll take care of it." As the knock came, her phone continued to vibrate as her mother-in-law sent a plethora of wedding supplies, even going so far as to label them with numbers for her convenience. "Lysander, are you awake?" It was Josiah's voice. Lysander set her phone down and made her way to the door. He stood outside, his eyes slightly red and his expression unreadable. "Lysander Dash. Do you have something to say to me?" "Yes." "Then come in." She turned and headed back in, taking a seat in the living room and gesturing to the chair opposite her. "Sit down." Josiah pulled out the chair and sat down slowly beside her before glancing around the room and inquiring, "Why haven't you changed into your pajamas?" Josiah Guerra. This was the first time Lysander had addressed him by his full name since their marriage. "Let's cut to the chase. Small talk is tedious," she stated. After a few minutes, he finally managed it. "Let's get a divorce." "Okay," she responded promptly, a smile playing on her lips as if he had just mentioned something trivial. Josiah looked at her in shock. "Aren't you going to ask why?" "I already know the reason," reminded Lysander. "Josiah, don't treat me like a fool." He buried his face in his hands, exhaling heavily. "I'm sorry." "Congratulations," she remarked. He chuckled bitterly. "Congratulations on what?" "Congratulations on finally fulfilling your wish after over 20 years of waiting for your beloved to return." "You knew all along?" Josiah inquired. "Who told you?" "Lysen." "No one told me, but it wasn't difficult to figure out," Lysander replied. Josiah expressed his pain. "I would have wanted to spend the rest of my life with you Dash." She finished his sentence. "If Lysen hadn't come back." He didn't answer. She asked, "Is that all?" "Once we're done, you can leave. Let me know when you're ready to handle the formalities. But as you know, doctors are busy, and I only have time for these few days off. Please hurry." Josiah stated, "I'll transfer the apartment we lived in to you as compensation. I'm not interested in your premarital property. If I need a house, I'll buy one myself." He was momentarily speechless, then took a step back. "If you ever need money, you can come to me, and if you encounter any problems in the future, you can also come to me. Josiah, let's not contact each other after the divorce." He forced a smile. "Lysander, you're a good girl. We may not be husband and wife, but we can still be friends." "Friends?" Lysander sneered. "What kind of friends?" "Best friends." This time, Josiah was completely speechless. She sighed, giving her final statement. "I have plenty of friends, I don't need more." At that moment, the phone rang. It was Daphne. The traffic was smooth. "I've already arrived. Come down." "Okay. 2 minutes." "Great, I won't go to the parking lot but wait for you at the hotel entrance." "All right." Lysander slung her single shoulder bag over her shoulder, ready to leave. Josiah asked. "Who called you?" "My friend." She had already grabbed the door handle but then paused, turned back, and smiled. "A true one." Chapter 18. He doesn't belong to her. Daphne drove a big red Porsche. Although her family was not as wealthy and influential as the Guerras, they still had a good reputation, and she was their only daughter,
so she had been pampered since childhood. Apart from that unfortunate experience in her senior year of high school, she had hardly suffered any setbacks. Daphne stated, "Don't go back to that apartment, and don't stay in a hotel. Come stay at my place for a while, consider it as keeping me company." Lysander shook her head. "Take me to the hospital." Daphne was speechless for a moment. "Why? Are you trying to numb the pain of heartbreak with work?" "Not really." "Then why go to the hospital? You've finally taken a vacation, so why don't we go on a trip together? I'll take you to Thailand to experience hot guys." Lysander paused for a moment and slowly uttered three words, "To have an abortion." Lysander started studying medicine at the age of 18, majoring in clinical medicine for her undergraduate degree and specializing in obstetrics and gynecology for her postgraduate studies. Since she started interning at the hospital, she had seen countless girls coming in for abortions, but she had never imagined that one day, the roles would be reversed, and she would go from being a doctor to a patient. The pregnancy was still in its early stages, so she didn't need surgery and could opt for a medical abortion directly. She was more familiar with these procedures than anyone else. Therefore, without alarming anyone, she went directly to find Lynn, who was initially stunned and mind, couldn't close her mouth for a long time. "Dr. Thorne, have you really made up your—" Lysander smiled. "Didn't you also say that pregnancy and childbirth have a big impact on a woman's career and life?" "I think you're right." Lynn looked embarrassed. "But your marriage is so blissful. Why not stay?" "Do you think so?" Lynn pouted. "Aren't you happy? Don't you know how many female doctors and nurses envy you? Your husband is handsome, caring, and kind-hearted. He even helps pregnant women who have accidents on the road and takes them to the hospital. He's a rare man." "Rare man?" The last time Lysander had heard this term was during the typhoon 2 years ago. It had been extremely destructive and blew cars away. However, childbirth didn't wait for the weather. During that time, several pregnant women in the hospital were due to give birth, and one of them even had a difficult delivery with heavy bleeding. The obstetrics and gynecology department was short-staffed, so she had to brave the typhoon and go to the hospital to help. When lives were at stake, it was a matter of life and death, especially if something happened to a pregnant woman. Were at stake, it was a— She had thought that Josiah would follow the advice of his relatives and friends, saying it was too dangerous to go out now and that she should take care of herself first. However, he didn't say a word but grabbed the car keys and went out directly. "Let's go." The typhoon had come with heavy rain, turning the sky as dark as night. Fallen trees and shattered billboards could be seen everywhere on the road, blown down by the wind. It had made the car sway back and forth, but he had tightly held the steering wheel while driving at full speed. It was almost like moving forward in a serpentine manner. Lysander had been so scared that she almost wanted to scream, holding onto the handle tightly and not daring to let go, but even so, she had still been tossed back and forth. Then, she heard Josiah say, "Lysander, don't be afraid, trust me." It was the first time she had seen such a different expression on his face. He had always been very gentle, but he had clenched his jaw tightly that day, his jawline forming a sharp curve, and he had a determination in his eyes that she had never seen before. She really hadn't been afraid anymore after that. When they finally arrived at the hospital, Josiah smiled and patted her head. "Go on. The pregnant woman and her child are waiting for you." Lysander had asked, "What about you?" "I'll wait for you," he had assured. "You focus on your work and when you're done, I'll take you home." She had been touched even if it was just a moment, but despair also only needed a moment to occur. Josiah was indeed a good man, but unfortunately, he did not belong to her. Lynn was still earnestly persuading her. "Dr. Thorne, think about it again.
You can hire more nanny, take care of the child and continue your career. It will only trouble you for a few months.
Lin, stop talking. I've already made up my mind.
Lin fell silent.
Prescribe the medication.
Medication abortion varied from person to person. Some people basically didn't feel anything, as if it was just a normal period, while others could be in so much pain that they wanted to commit suicide, crying and howling in the hospital for hours without relief. It depended on the individual's constitution and fate. Lysander had seen both of these situations but just hadn't expected that her fate would be so unfortunate. After taking the medicine, she stayed in the bathroom for almost 4 hours, and when she came out, her clothes were almost soaked with sweat. Daphne was anxiously pacing outside and quickly supported Lysander when she saw her coming out.
Lysander, are you okay?
Harper, help me.
My legs are weak, I can't stand.
Daphne used to be called Harper and was addressed by that for 6 years before changing it to Daphne in her senior year. Lysander had already gotten used to this name over the years, but pain overcame reason at this moment and she could only speak by instinct. If this had been in the past, Daphne would have definitely been angry with Lysander. However, Daphne didn't mind at all today and immediately came forward without care for Lysander's sweaty body and her arm around her shoulder.
Lean on me.
Take rest.
Put.
Okay. Daphne noticed that she was still holding a wad of tissue in her hand and reached out to take it.
Give it to me.
I'll throw it away for you.
Lysander suddenly clenched the tissue in her hand.
I do it myself.
It's okay.
I don't mind. Daphne realized what was wrapped in that tissue, slowly put down her hand, and gently stroked her back instead.
All right, you can throw it yourself.
Lin was worried and came over to bring Lysander a cup of hot water.
Daphne held it and let Lysander sip it slowly.
Feeling better? She struggled and managed to stand up with difficulty.
Daphne quickly supported her.
Why don't you sit down and rest properly?
Where are you going?
To the medical waste landfill.
Why are you going there?
Lysander showed Daphne the crumpled paper in her hand.
To throw this away.
Why don't you rest for a while first and then go late?
Let's do it now.
Lysander slightly lifted the corner of her mouth.
Once I throw it away, it will completely.
Daphne didn't stop her anymore and helped her slowly walk towards the hospital gate, but after TH left the gate and were just about to step down the stairs, they saw someone standing not far below. Josiah held a thin piece of paper in his hand, which was wrinkled by the wind. Lysander recognized it as the paper had the central hospital header. It was her pregnancy checkup report.
She smiled bitterly.
Did I forget it in the hotel room?
Josiah's eyes were bloodshot, the veins on the back of his hand bulging as if he was on going crazy.
Your wallet was left in the room.
The staff found it and gave it to me properly.
His gaze focused on the hand holding the crumpled paper.
Lysander, what are you holding?
And you mean this?
Lysander smiled softly and extended his hand, holding the crumpled paper, slowly unfolding it in front of him.
The area tightly clenched in her palm was already stained a bright red.
Josiah growled softly.
What is it exactly?
Have you been wondering what the birthday gift I prepared for you is?
She smiled.
It's this.
Chapter 19 Josiah, I don't want to see you again.
Josiah took two slow steps forward, approaching her, his gaze fixed on the blood-red tissue in her hand.
He reached out his hand, his Adam's apple rolling up and down with difficulty.
See, can I touch it?
Lysander nodded slightly.
Perhaps because the wind outside was too cold today, Josiah's hand was shaking violently.
It wasn't just his hand, as his whole body was trembling violently, the veins on the back of his hand bulging like twisted roots as if they were about to burst through the skin in the next second. However, his movements were careful, filled with guilt, regret, and pain.
Lysander watched him coldly the whole time, watching his eyes turn redder,
and his teeth clenched tighter until finally, his trembling hand was almost out of control. He had to use his other hand to his wrist tightly as he gently touched the tissue. She then quickly closed her palm and took it back. Josiah seemed to have just woken up from a nightmare as if he had been in a dream.
Mr. Guerra.
Grip.
Mr. Guerra.
Josiah suddenly realized that Lysander was calling him Mr. Guerra. She had even changed the way she addressed him. He frowned in pain and asked in a deep voice, Lysander, must it go this way?
How else, then?
You should have told me earlier. If I had known that you were already pregnant with our child, T would have.
You won't.
Lysander shook her head indifferently.
Mr. Guerra, I am also my own person. I don't to be someone's substitute for the rest of my life.
What about the child? Josh's brows furrowed tightly.
I am the child's father.
If you want to abort
him, why haven't you told me?
She smiled slightly.
Then let me ask you. If I had told you earlier, would you have given up being with Lysander for this child?
Josiah clenched his teeth.
I am not incapable of raising my own child.
You still haven't directly answered my question.
Why are you avoiding it?
He was quiet.
Are you thinking that you can reunite with your childhood sweetheart while letting me give birth to this child?
But have you ever thought about the child?
When this child grows up and asks me why their dad's wife has a similar name as me, how should I answer?
Because their dad don't really love their mom and she is just a substitute for Aunt Lysen, is that it?
He still didn't answer.
When the child needs their father, he will be admiring the stars and moon with another woman. When they want their father's embrace, he may be already holding a younger brother born to another woman.
When they grow up, and his brother grows up too, their father will take the child's brother and the mother to amusement parks, aquariums, and foreign trips anywhere the boy wants to go.
But what about the child?
How sad will they feel when they see it?
Have you ever thought about that?
He still didn't speak.
And what about me?
If I have this child, would you allow me to marry someone else with the child?
Absolutely not.
That's it then.
Because of this child.
I will be tied to the Guerras for the rest of my life.
I actually have no desire for marriage and don't mind living my whole life alone with the child, but if the child wants to see their father, then I have to meet you.
He didn't say anything.
Josiah, I don't want to see you again.
Chapter 20 The Best Ending.
Josiah clenched his fists tightly on both sides, his chest. Somewhat unfamiliar gaze.
Lysander, you're truly, violently.
He looked at Lysander with a.
Being rational may appear harsh, but it benefits all three of us in the long run.
Josiah furrowed his brows.
Three of us.
I don't have to be bound to the Guerra family forever.
After the divorce, I can still lead my own life.
You don't have to be burdened with children.
In the future, she will give birth to your children.
You don't have to constantly argue with Lysen because of this child.
As for Miss Thorne, Lysander smiled and continued, she probably won't have to refer to the inheritance law daily, let alone struggle to secure more family property for her child.
Josiah did not retort.
He knew her character.
Having grown up with her since childhood, he knew best how she would react.
Most importantly, Lysander said.
I want my child to be born into a loving family, at least with a father who loves their mother.
In my opinion, love holds far more significance than property and money.
Since the last time he inquired, Josiah had been silent while keeping his head down. He didn't even dare to meet Lysander's gaze.
Ultimately, Lysander didn't want to talk to Josiah anymore.
Let's conclude it here.
Go back and live your life well.
I will also strive to live mine well.
We are parting amicably, and this is already the best ending.
Josiah finally lifted his head.
Lysander noticed a glimmer of tears in the corner of his eyes.
A true man did not shed tears easily, only when he was on the brink of heartbreak.
Having worked in the obstetrics and gynecology department for many years, Lysander was accustomed to the complicated relationship between men and women. While the wife inside the ward was in agony, the husband could still sit outside, engrossed in his phone without a care. She had witnessed numerous similar scenarios. Initially, she felt outraged. She would speak up for the expectant mothers and advocate for them. However, what she received in return was the husband saying, "My wife doesn't say anything. Do you have the authority to intervene?" After several attempts, she eventually realized one thing: the child was conceived in the mother's body and born from it. All of this did not necessitate the father's involvement. A father did not endure morning sickness-induced dizziness, nor did he undergo excruciating pain during childbirth. It was impossible for him to fully comprehend his wife's sacrifices. If he refused to consent to a cesarean section, it was because he had consulted a fortune teller who advised that the following day would be a more auspicious day to give birth. He insisted that the pregnant woman endure until the next day. This incident was also a pivotal moment in Lynn's aversion to marriage. Lysander remembered that Lynn was particularly stunned at that moment as she stood there in a daze. "Dr. Thorne, do you believe a man has no attachment to unborn children? Even if he is indifferent to his wife, isn't he afraid the child will suffocate in her womb?" Lynn asked. Lysander was not a man, so she couldn't answer her question. She only observed that countless men, when faced with their wives' pleas, would still coldly ask for abortion. "If I had not taken the initiative to inform Josiah of my pregnancy, how would he have chosen? Will he opt to keep this child? If so, between him and Lysen, there will be a child born to another woman. Can Lysen tolerate it? If my child and Lysen were to fall into the water simultaneously, whom would he rescue first?" As she contemplated this extreme scenario, the answer was already apparent.